If you'd like to follow along, this morning's reading will be from Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. Revelation 1, verses 4 through 8. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness and the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins, it's in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, Almighty.
I so appreciate the questions that you put in the Ask the Preacher box. And sometimes, do you know that sometimes in the middle of the week, preachers scratch their head and they say, what shall I preach about this Sunday? Well, here's a question that was asked, and it's right on the money. What do you say? This is the question. What do you say when someone states Christ has already come? Oh, you say, I've never heard that before. Boy, I have. Over and over again. Do you know that we actually have those who represent themselves as members of the Church of Christ that say that Christ has already come? Already come. Well, now, I hope in our study, as we consider, what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible teach about Christ's second coming? First of all, and this is still introductory, the world's greatest event is yet to come. It hadn't happened yet. So you already know how I feel about this question. What do you say when people say Christ has already come? It isn't so. It isn't so. And whenever we study the scriptures and we ask ourselves the question, when will that happen? And what is going to happen? What are the events that are connected with the second coming of Christ? Oh, we can learn so much. And in our learning, we will find out exactly why it is so that event has not happened yet. But that's the greatest event that is yet in front of us. And maybe I will remember at the close of the lesson to say, this is what I want you to have learned, and this is to be your attitude toward our Lord's second coming. How do we know it's going to happen? Now, you can put that down on your paper as a question, or just go ahead and say, as I have on my paper, it is certain. It is. Maybe I better not pound on that same paper. It is certain. It's going to happen. How do we know Christ is going to come again? Well, first of all, he said so. He promised. Probably most of us remember John, the 14th chapter. He has told the disciples, I'm going to go away. But in John 14, he says in words like this, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go away, I'll come again in order that I may receive you unto myself. The first three verses of John chapter 14. The angels have promised. The angels have said, yes, he's going to come again. And whenever we look over, well, let's look at Acts chapter 1. You remember this is the ascension of Jesus. And when Christ was taken up from them into the clouds, there were two men that stood by them in white apparel that we do not have any trouble identifying because of the way they spoke, the way they were dressed. But verse 10, we can start, well, verse 9 of Acts 1. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Here's the promise of these heavenly messengers, that what Jesus had already promised was certainly going to be the way of it. And then to this great weight of evidence, Jesus saying it is so, the angels saying it is so, all of the apostles as they wrote. And I've just taken the one text that Daniel has read in our hearing. Look at Revelation 1 and verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they that pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him, even so, amen. Well, that's a pretty good part of the book of Revelation. All right. Has Christ already come again? What would be one thing that you would say to, you know, I almost want to call them nuts, but I'll be a little kinder than that. Well, what do you say to an individual who is so ignorant of Scripture or so believed and so deceived that they would say Christ has already come again? Well, one thing you can say to them, have you written the Scripture down now? One thing you can say to them is, turn over with me to Revelation 1 and verse 7. You see, you can do that, and in that way you're calling on Bible authority concerning a Bible question. Has Christ already come again? Well, here's this verse. What does it say? That Christ will come back invisibly? That there are only a few spiritual folks out there that will know that he has come? Oh, no. That's not what it said. Every eye will see him. Well, you say that's just talking about folks that are alive. No. Even they that pierced him. Boy, that goes back over 2,000 years, doesn't it? To that Roman soldier that thrust that spear into his side. Friends and enemies. Those who look for it and those who do not look for it. Those who believe and those who do not believe. Every eye will see him. It is certain. It is certain that the second coming of our Lord will take place. It has not happened yet. Well, when will it happen? When will it happen? Well, here's our second proof that we can tell our dear friends. If they say, you know, the second coming of Christ has already taken place. Well, if it has, do you know what? You know more than Jesus knew. You know more than Jesus knew. Look at Matthew chapter 25, and this is repeated, chapter 24, chapter 25. All right, but if you just write down on your paper, Matthew 25 and verse 13. Verse 13. Jesus gives a warning that all of us are to take, and he says, watch. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Matthew chapter 24, he compares it to a thief. When we look, for instance, verses 42 through 44 of Matthew 24, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." I have to say one thing about these folks that have said the Lord has already come. They're not alone. They're not alone. There have been so many that have predicted the day, the hour, the month, the year when Jesus was going to come again. I don't know what you think about the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I want to tell you from their record, they're not witnesses of Jehovah. Whoever they may be witnessing for, it is not for the God of heaven. Why do I say that? Well, their forerunners, Russell and Rutherford, they were sensationalists. They gathered huge crowds around them because they said, Russell said way back in the First World War, he said, "Jesus is coming again in the year 1914. And he didn't. So they changed their predictions and they said, 1925. I have a little volume in my library that is called Millions Now Living Will Never Die. And here they were predicting Jesus will come again, a paradise earth will begin, and you'll never get old. You'll never die. You just live forever and ever. The fellow that wrote that's dead, by the way. He didn't live forever and ever. You say, well, they gave up on that, didn't they? No. Because in 1975, they predicted again, this is the year in which Jesus is going to come. They lost thousands of followers in the Republic of Ireland. I don't know how many people throughout the world just threw up their hands in disgust. And they twigged on. And so they finally said, we won't make any more speculations. Let's see if they stay true to their word. But before then, have you ever thought about where Seventh-day Adventism gets its name? Advent, you know that means a return, all right, a coming. Seventh-day Adventists. Well, before there were some Seventh-day Adventists, there was a man by the name of William Miller. And he had a friend by the name of Snow. But William Miller studied and studied the Old Testament predictions, in particular the 70 weeks of Daniel, and he said, the Lord is going to come again, either in 1843 or 1844. Well, 1843 came and went, and of course Jesus did not come again. So one of these Millerites, a fellow by the name of Snow, got to doing some thinking. He said, you got it wrong. It isn't the fall. It's the spring of 1844. No, I've got it wrong. It's exactly the opposite. It's the fall. As a matter of fact, I can tell you the very day. October the 22nd, 1844. And you know what? Jesus didn't come. But do you know what the followers of Miller and Snow did? They came to their meeting places on that day and they gathered in homes. And I am told from the record that some of them actually got up on the rooftops of houses and barns. They were dressed in white garments and they were ready for Jesus to come. And he didn't do it. Don't any of you say that's harmless, that's fun. That's diabolical. That's evil. That is absolute blasphemy against the God of heaven when man thinks that he knows more than the Lord said that he knew while he was here on earth. Has Jesus come again? No. No. 1,000 times no. When is he going to come? You don't know. You don't know, and I don't know. But the Bible just teaches, and if you want to carry something home with you, this is it. Watch and pray. Be sober. Because we do not know the day or the hour in which the Lord will come again. But what's going to happen? I'm sure you've been over these events before, but the main event is Christ will come again and every eye will see him. All of the dead will be raised. All of the dead will be raised. There are a number of words used in 1 Corinthians 15, this great resurrection chapter, that tells us that this is all connected with the Lord's second coming. 1 Corinthians 15, for instance, and verses 22 and 23, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards those who are Christ's at his coming." When will we again be made alive? At his coming. At his coming. That's when all of this is going to happen and the dead will be raised. Verse 52 of this same chapter. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." When will that happen? Someone says, "Well, it happened in AD 70. No, we're all still alive here. Nobody has been resurrected, and the last trumpet has not yet sounded. But do you know when Jesus comes again, that's the end. That is the last trumpet. And the dead will be raised." How many of the dead will be raised? Folks say, "Well, just the good people. Just the good people." There's a lot of folks that teach that. You ask folks about hell. And they say, "Oh, well, hell is the grave, isn't it? And do you know what bad folks are going to experience? Well, they're going to die and they're just going to remain in the grave. That's their hell." No, that's not according to Scripture. That's not it at all. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 for you to jot down. "Do not marvel at this," our Lord says, "for the hour in coming in which all is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." What's going to happen to good folks? What about those of years gone by? Paul and Peter and James and John and Andrew and Philip. What's going to happen to all of those? They're going to be raised again. The last out. What about evil people? Adolf Hitler, Nero, any others that you can think of that you know were such evil people? All of the Jezebels of the world, all of the Ahabs, they'll be raised too. The wicked and the good, the righteous and the unrighteous. Well, you say, isn't that so to where there's 1,000 years that will separate the resurrection of the righteous from the unrighteous? No, no. John 5, 28 and 29, all at the same hour. When that last trumpet will sound, if you will, 1 Corinthians 15, 52, all of the dead will be raised again. What's going to happen to the world? Someone says, well, God has in mind a paradise earth. No, He doesn't either. Peter tells us what's going to happen to this old world, this planet, the stars of the sky, the moon and the sun. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conversation, conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Not this old earth, not a renovated earth, not an earth that just has new seat covers on it. It will be a new heavens and a new earth where God and His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit and all of the righteous through the ages will dwell. What else? The judgment day. Has the judgment day taken place yet? Have you appeared before God in order that you may be judged? You say, well, it's foolish to even talk about that. And so it is foolish for anyone to say, the Lord has already come again. What's going to happen when the Lord Jesus appears again? Every one of us, not a single person in this room, every one of us will appear before the judgment throne of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Well, that takes care of the righteous, doesn't it? How about the unrighteous? Verse 41. Then He will also say to those on His left hand, depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Good and bad are going to be judged. All will be raised, good or bad. All will stand before the Lord, the righteous judge. That hasn't happened yet, but we can be certain it's going to happen. And after the judgment, what then? Well, we read in 2 Timothy chapter 4 that Paul said, Therefore, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day. What day? That judgment day that Matthew 25, verse 31 talks about. What will happen last of all? Heaven and hell will have their beginning. Verse 46, Matthew 25. And these will go away into everlasting punishment. Not for an hour, not for a day, not for a year, not for 10 years or 100 years. Oh, friend, who would want to go there? These will go away into everlasting punishment. But the righteous into eternal life. That's where I want to be. Are you righteous? Have you been obedient to the Lord? One of the things that just continues to amaze me, oh, our Lord Jesus died for us on the cross. He just keeps on inviting us. That long suffering and that patience is amazing. I look over at the very last book of the Bible and the very last page in my Bible. And I see, starting with verse 12 of Revelation 22, the Lord says, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, 'Come.' And let him who hears say, 'Come.' And let him who thirsts, 'Come.' Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." Is there one or more here this morning that wants to take that water of life freely? I pray that you do, and we sing to encourage you.